letting it all hang out.
Past 3 p.m. Fringe Janelle is here. You can follow her on social media under Holy L E L L E. Do you guys already? I mean, I know we've talked about Supergirl. Did you see it yet?
I did see it.
Oh, okay. Can you talk about it?
I can.
All right. I know that look.
Do you want to?
I give it an F because she has pierced ears.
Yeah.
Well, now let's wrong. Here we go.
I understand it.
I do
can
understand.
I
yeah, like I yeah, being a nerd, I understand why. But go if you would like to, go ahead.
I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
Because on Krypton, they're not super beings. They're super beings here with our yellow sun.
Correct.
And back then, you could pierce her ears because she was more what we would think of as human.
Well, yeah, like how this movie starts off is she's hanging around a red sun a lot at the beginning because she's wanting to get drunk a whole bunch because she's trying to still numb the pain from losing her parents. And so in order for her to be able to be normal, quote unquote normal, human-like, yeah, as long as she stays away from a self-healing yellow sun, she can be hit, she can bleed, she can get holes poked in her, all that good stuff, as long as she stays away from the yellow sun. So, yeah. So, hate it for different reasons. I will give you plenty of reasons.
Okay. Okay.
When it was originally, when I first learned of the ear piercing problem, I had thought that it was people were mad at the actress for having pierced ears.
No, they were just dumb.
Well, they probably were.
There are plenty of, like, they can fix that in post if they so choose. Like,
right.
That's clearly the decision of, like, the people making the movie.
Yeah, plus I would guess even if, like, you're just a normal person playing a normal person, they will tell you what kind of earrings to wear for the scene and things
jewelry.
Like that.
And,
right?
And
you're not
honesty,
just, like, showing up with what you want.
I don't even remember if she has them in the movie.
Oh.
And, like, now I can't even, like, I'll see it again, I'm sure, but it's a fine movie. The problem is you've already seen it 4 times. If you've seen all 3 Guardians of the Galaxy movies and you've seen Superman, you have seen Supergirl. It brings nothing to the table. It is not breaking any kind of ground. It ends up kind of being dull just because you have seen it before. Now, it's directed by Craig Gillespie and not written by James Gunn, but it feels like his fingerprints are all over this movie. It is, if anybody has seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and they deal with the Ravagers, it feels like you're dealing with the Ravagers version of this movie. It's, you know, oh, there's going to have the musical, the certain soundtrack hits in certain scenes like they do in the Guardians movies, and it's going to have the slow motion action scenes, and it has an ensemble cast. And it's just, you've seen this already. And it's just, it actually makes you appreciate Superman more than, you know, after seeing this. Because there are a few scenes, I don't think this isn't a spoiler because David Cornsweet has been in the trailers. He does show up in the movie and those are like, it's actually kind of a breath of fresh air. You're like, oh, let's kind of keep him around for a little bit because he does a good, despite what you, I mean, like, it wasn't my favorite movie of last year, but he does a good Superman. I know, like, people want the rough and tumble, and it's like, that's not really how the character's written in the comics. He's kind of like a, oh, shucks, good old boy. And David Cornsweet does a good job of that. So when you see him, you're like, oh, like, and it's not to say that Millie Alcock is terrible in this movie. She does well with what she's given. It's just, next to him, he does a better job of being Superman than she does being Supergirl. It's nothing to say about her and her acting abilities. She was in House of the Dragon. She was fine. But it's just an movie. We've seen it. We've seen it a bunch of times, and we've seen it better. You could take any one of those characters and put in Peter Quill, or you could take out somebody and put in Lex Luthor, and you have seen that movie several times. There are no, like, oh, gripping the edge of your seat stakes. There's no heavy emotional stakes that go on in this movie that you're like, I'm really upset about. Like, we know it's, again, they show this in the trailer that the dog Crypto gets poisoned and she's got 3 days to be able to save him. Well, the dog is CGI, which for me as a dog lover, anytime a dog is hurt in a movie, I'm like, it's time to walk out. Like, I don't need to see this. I don't need this in my life. But it's hard to, like, yeah, I can't connect with a CGI dog. It's like, as much as it just doesn't work for me personally, but yeah, it's just
Is it mostly about her arc, or is it more about trouble on Earth and thank God Supergirl's here?
No, she's dealing with a younger girl who lost her family due to a group of villains in the movie, and she's kind of realizing her path of keeping everybody away and everybody at arm's length is keeping her safe emotionally instead of really connecting with the family that she's got as far as Superman goes. It's just okay. It's like, the most compelling parts to me were the parts that they showed in flashback and dealing with the destruction of, it's not Krypton at that time, because there was in the comics, this is not a spoiler, her and her family kind of break off from Krypton as it's exploding, and they go off to live for years and years and years, and that's where she's born. And because of the mineral kryptonite in that city, it starts to kill everybody, and her parents send her away to Earth. That was more compelling to me, seeing that, because we haven't seen that. It's like, how many times have we seen the spider bite Peter Parker? Yeah. 100 times. How many times have we seen Batman's parents die? 100 times. Even baby Superman coming to Earth, we've seen it 100 times. So, like, seeing this in a different superhero as far as, like, their origin story, like, that was neat, and that was probably the most interesting. And the rest of it was just, It was just,
What's your favorite Superman movie of all time?
Oh, 1978, Christopher Reeve's Superman. I was 2 when that came out, and that solidified for me the direction as far as comic reading. And yeah, I had a Superman poster in my room that had a little couch next to that wall, and I would sit there and read books to him.
Aww.
Yeah, so it was it. It'll always be it. Yeah.
I've never figured it out. Why is it so hard to make a good Superman movie?
Because
it's been try after try after try, and some of them have been tolerable, but it should be more than tolerable. Like, we've made great Spider-Man movies. We've made great Batman movies. Obviously, you know, Marvel's its own thing.
Because Superman's not a really compelling character when he's indestructible. Like, you have Thor, who's indestructible, but Thor is kind of... You know, or maybe, but like, he has depth to him. You know, he deals with him, you know, self hate and feeling important and ego and stuff like that. And just Superman doesn't have any of that. It's the same way as you have to add in characters around Captain America in order to make him compelling, because him on his own, he's fine, but he needs something that's darker.
So, too nice is too boring.
As far as superhero movies when they don't have any flaws, like when they're just always aw shucks and they always want to do the right thing. And even like his Clark Kent character, his other persona is a super good guy who sends money home to his mother. It's like, that's great, but it's, you know, it just wears thin. It's like everybody's always wanting to see a depth to a character, and he just doesn't have any. It doesn't make him a bad comic book character. It's just, there's a reason people prefer Batman to Superman, I think, as far as, like, interesting and entertainment-wise goes, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, Spider-Man's even compelling because he's a kid who's dealing with being, you know, hiding his identity from everybody and how that affects his relationships and tears everything apart with everybody that he relates to and how it affects his everyday life. But yet then he's taking on these people who can crush, you know, normal humans. That makes him compelling. Even though he's a good kid, he still has that kind of complexity to him.
Okay. Going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more with Janelle. Dave Murray is going to join us at 3:35. It's sunshine. It's the world. GS and KMOX 322. Janelle is with us. Dave Murray is next. Matt Pauly will join us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. And 4:30 to 5, we are going to replay our interviews with Bill DeWitt III, who loved me, and Anouk. So,
who loved you as well.
Yeah.
Fellow Wash U guy.
I felt like I had a good interview.
You guys bonded.
I got in, I got out, left them laughing. But no, I thought that was a really good interview.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to be honest. When I listen to press conferences, I'm just like, boring. No one cares. Like,
I want to know, like, real stuff.
Right.
You know, like, what's it like to be a DeWitt? People are, you know, dog cussing you all the time.
Yeah.
Blaming your family. Like, you don't care enough. Like, what's that like? So, Janelle and I are having an interesting discussion.
Wait a minute.
About golf. No, nothing like that.
Yeah.
And I told her, you know, I'm taking golf lessons. And, of course, my legend is to get super into things.
Yeah.
And spend a lot of money on it and then just give it all away because I'm on something new. And so that's probably going to happen. But Janelle was asking me, because I'm really improving in my golf game thanks to my buddy Ed, who's giving me lessons. And she said, are you really competitive? And I said, no. And I'd never thought of it before, but I'm competitive with every other sport.
Yeah, that was what surprised me, because I know, like I said, I have heard you playing the games on the radio before. And I've heard, you know, like your track and field and your soccer stories and you killing your kid almost.
Yes. Yes.
So, that just surprised me that golf was, you know, separate from all that. That was somehow that you just don't, that button hasn't clicked.
Yeah. And maybe it will. But I think
maybe your blood doesn't get pumping the way.
Maybe.
It is a pretty chill activity.
Yeah. Yeah. And from the time I started playing, which other than kid playing was in law school, I've always played with really good people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just right away was like, oh, okay, well, I see where I stand.
Right. You know? Right.
So
your competition was just not to be the worst.
Yeah, just not to be the worst. Yeah.
Nothing. It's why all of that is why I just don't even try on things like golf. Like I will get competitive about it if I did it, and I would be angry and I would be a problem, and I don't want to spend the time or money to get good enough to where I wouldn't do those things. So I just don't do it.
So Janelle, she avoids board games because she's like
me. Yeah.
Do you, or do you just play them chill?
No, I play them chill. I don't get competitive at those things at all.
How do you not?
Uno. How does Uno not just...
None of it. I mean, the only thing I would get competitive over is if we're playing like poker for money. I'll be competitive in that setting because I want money.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, like in family games and family settings, I don't. If I go there, it's not good.
Oh, no, sure. I'm familiar.
We just didn't know you could stop yourself.
I mean, think of the arguing.
Yeah, we're learning it's a choice. Interesting.
Well, in some ways it is.
You're making a joke, but you're...
I'm not making a joke.
You see it when I argue. That's what it is. That's what it turns into, and I don't want that to be the case in people, like when we're at Thanksgiving and everybody's after dinner and playing board games.
When you get on free parking, that means you get all of the money in the middle of the board.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Glad to know we're not in that protected group of people.
I mean,
I gotta protect people from my temper.
You guys kind of are.
What?
You are getting a filtered version of the real thing.
Are you serious?
Oh, dude.
Probably only because he has to watch his language.
Well, not just that.
You want to keep your job.
You get pretty ramped, my friend.
I mean, I know, but am I like, when I do those things, am I breaking things or am I punching someone?
Because
in a real competitive environment, like...
Like, we are at work.
No, I know. This is my point. This is why I don't get to that. Because when I'm competing...
Fired.
Let me give you this advice.
When I'm competing, it's intense.
Never represent yourself in an HR.
Oh, no.
Because you're not good at it.
No, I'm not trying to be good at it.
I'm just people?
Telling you. That's the edge. That's the competitive edge. That's what I have to do to be as competitive as I want to be when I'm in that environment. I've got to be in fight mode.
What? Real question. When you are at your worst, what are you feeling in your body?
Probably just red.
So you're just talking about like in when I was playing baseball seriously, like that. It's like I want to fight everybody.
Oh.
That's how I've played. I'm okay with fighting every person there if I had to try to win the game, to try to do what I need to do. Because I wasn't good enough to not be that way. I had to be that way to compete.
Fighting everybody?
Well, no, just like that's your mentality. That's how how your body feels. Like when
you're in fight mode.
You're in a game.
Gotcha.
You're in a game. Got the gear on. You're competing. That's how it feels.
Okay. How does it feel in your body when it's 4:15 and sales says they need a FanDuel by 10 o'clock the next morning?
Well, not.
I've seen you go pretty crazy.
But it's not. You're seeing like a 20%.
Oh,
that's terrifying.
You're seeing 20%. You guys have seen maybe 75% max.
Do you play? So when you play video games, I know that. That's what I'm saying.
I'm bad at that.
Okay, so do you play like with other people, like across
online?
The country?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, but more often, no. More often, just me.
So
20% rates. That's what we're getting.
I don't know.
Well, for
are
the FanDuel thing,
are we supposed to be like grateful?
No,
like, I don't understand
no.
What's happening.
There's no requirement of anyone of anything. I'm trying to gauge like
thank
the
you,
level.
Kevin, for not punching us.
Yeah,
I could have hit you with the belt, but it didn't.
I mean, that's but it is.
The bar is kind of in hell, but that's okay.
It is. That's why I try not to do it. There are times I lose control of that. I don't want to.
I can't get past 20%.
Well, I mean, when you said the fan, like when you're talking about a late request, that's 20%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the most you've ever gotten here? Like, what would you say your highest percentage is?
75, 80.
On air?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like back in the break room with Andrew.
I've had a couple of 90s, like in the sports office by myself, where the newsroom was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine now.
Yeah.
I'm fine now. 5 seconds ago, maybe not. Michael and Maria were like, oh no.
Can we do this after rage?
No, you can do it here.
Okay.
Spread the word and be like me. Spread the word I'm thinking of. Have you heard?
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. 3:35, Dave Marie joins us courtesy of the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave. Oh, Dave's muted.
He's not muted. He's up and he's on the Opal 2 is up and on.
Uh-oh. Can't hear you, Dave.
Dave, could you be muted on
Yeah, he
your...
might be muted on his end because I'm not getting any levels from him.
Hmm.
Do I sound weird to you guys?
You sound fine.
Okay.
Do you feel weird?
Everything's weird in here. This things are weird.
No, it's like I'm getting like a weird like double.
Oh, you're getting feedback.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not getting double, but the whole show it sounded weird in my headphones.
Hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
So what do we do with Dave?
It looks like he is trying something on his end.
Andrew's gonna
pantomime.
I'll call him. Yeah, just get the phone.
I can buzz.
Something's going on.
Can you like act it out?
Yeah, can you mime it? Dave, can you mime
like
the weather?
Wind.
Just like
rain, wind.
I'm so hot.
It's gonna be hot. Well, gonna figure that out.
It's been the weirdest show. Yeah. I cannot.
Every time there's a goofy event, it can make things weird.
I cannot rally. I cannot come back from weird starts.
Yeah, but that wasn't you. You didn't make the audio go away.
No, but like the whole show's been kind of awkward and weird.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
From inside me.
Okay.
In your view, I was going to say, most of it's been pretty good. I mean, like, you know, it was always good, but the first part was
like, great
like
to
a
be
weird
a part
change.
Of that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dave Murray.
We got you, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
That's weird. I don't see anything weird on my end.
Interesting. I don't have any levels coming from you.
Yeah.
I would say we've had tons of weird tech stuff today, so it's almost 100% on.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yep. And it's in...
Okay, hang on.
Just indistinct.
What Rachel just said. Mm-hmm. How's that? Do you hear me now?
On the phone.
You hear me now? Levels. Let's try it again. Say one more thing.
Test.
Hey!
Oh, okay.
Double makes it worked.
Yeah, turn that phone off.
Yeah.
Okay, mute him real quick.
That's really good feedback.
All right, there
well,
we go.
That was good.
That's good.
Well,
to know.
Anyway, as I was saying,
good to know we can do that.
If you ever see Wheels come into the studio with a baseball bat, you know, run.
Yeah. Andrew, you missed that. Mm-hmm. So here's the salient point.
Yeah.
We were talking about Wheeler and his temper, and I was kind of flirting with, because I'm terrified of him, I was kind of flirting with like, hey, we've seen that temper, man. And he says, we've only seen about 20%.
No, on the...
He's like 80%.
Yeah, for the one commercial.
For that type of thing, the small inconvenience thing, that's a 20%.
He said on the radio, it's
like
been
75%. Like when I'm fighting, it's like 75%. Like when
and
we
you
get
really don't
it.
Consider that to be like a huge problem
that's
in your life?
That's not what I'm saying. I never once said it was good or
he
bad.
He said it was,
I'm said that's why I don't get
no,
competitive
I know.
About
I'm
non-competitive
saying,
things.
No, we're saying it's bad.
Yeah,
it's,
well, it's fine. It
value
just,
judgment.
Is what it is. I'm not trying to act that
don't
way.
Don't rile him up. You're in the other room.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not that far to get over there.
HR will be knocking at the door.
We don't have, please. That's part of the problem, Dave. We don't have that.
We don't have an HR.
I'm not a licensed psychologist, but I just noted something in his response where Andrew, his coworker, is saying, well, it's kind of a problem for us. And he goes, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot from Kevin where I'm like, hey, let's work on this one specific part of you.
And you're like, nah. It's like telling somebody who's anxious to not be anxious. I can just tell you that, and you're going to be like, well,
now that I understand.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
No. I don't want it to be that
way.
It's
not like that at all.
It's not like I'm choosing it to be that way.
Yeah, but being anxious is not the same behavior as having a terrible temper.
Yeah.
No, he's saying like the feeling inside.
The feeling is not like, I'm not choosing it.
Gang, I just can't stop killing people.
No, but you're choosing your response.
No, you don't. That's the point, is you don't always have the full, like, soup. Like, in a calm moment, I will make a calm decision. You don't do that when you're in that mind frame.
Who has ever seen you at 100?
You got to get control of your emotions, brother. What you're saying is I have no control over my emotions.
No, if there was no control, there would be broken crap everywhere, and I'd be in fights all the time around town. Which never
this
happens.
This could turn into a great streaming moment here any second now.
Like that, if there were no control, I would probably get in trouble. Like I'd be arrested. I would do things that would get me if I didn't have control of it to a level.
I picture him like the Tasmanian devil, just spinning around just the streets of St. Louis.
I mean,
just taking
people out. I
picture
him flipping cars like Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm just not buying it, because if your behavior makes someone else uncomfortable, then it seems so easy to go, it could be so much worse. You guys are lucky.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying anybody's
lucky.
You can't
control it.
I'm saying that, yeah, I can.
So this is you controlling it.
That's what I'm saying.
He's saying because he doesn't go to 100.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, is there are times where it's...
Well, then it's an easy fix.
And it's...
If you can control it, then just turn the knob up a little bit.
It's like saying there's an easy fix for somebody that's got... To you know, change any behavior, whether it's eating, drinking, like it's saying, okay, just stop drinking alcohol. Well, some people have a problem, and you just don't choose to stop. Like you have to work on controlling it.
Yeah, but like the answer to being an alcoholic isn't, well, I'm an alcoholic forever. Like there are steps you can take, and there are treatments,
absolutely,
there's best practices to do to like affect. And then ideally, you get into what's known as recovery, where you don't have these problems anymore.
Okay.
This whole show, including Bill DeWitt, has been an intervention.
Whatever. I mean, like, if the worst thing is people get uncomfortable, I'm not.
No, that's bad.
I'm not saying it's not bad.
If the worst thing is I scare my coworkers.
That's okay.
I mean, if you guys, seriously.
Rach, go ahead.
I guess it's just, do you consider it a problem? Because it's like, I'm not really sure what we're arguing, or not, I'm not sure what we're discussing at this point, because we've come at it from so many different angles. Do you see it, like, when you compare it to alcoholism, like, do you see it as a problem in your life? Is
no.
it something you wish were different?
No. I mean, I don't, because what are the ultimate outcomes of the actions? Am I raging?
People don't like
and,
you.
Again, but there are people that don't like everybody for various reasons. I don't even sweat that. I mean, there are people who are totally nice who other people don't like.
I guess what we have a problem with, and I don't want it to feel like we're like trying to back you into a corner.
It's totally cool, man.
That's not what, at least that's not what I think we want to do. But it's what we, I think what
we
bump
doing
up
anything
against.
Right now.
Yeah, everyone is operating
it's
on
only
an individual
you, Andrew.
Basis. I'm what watching the Red Hulk over here.
Okay, then I'll talk like... to, then I'll say it as an I, not a we. What I bump up against is that this is a me problem. It's in my own brain, but I don't like the idea that I would make another person uncomfortable. So it's weird to me. Like what I bump up against is when you go like, well, if the worst thing that happens is you're not happy, I don't care. It's like, well, that's a weird way to look at it. Right?
No, I mean, that's us being people pleasers though. I mean, I think we tend to be like that. Right?
Yeah. Maybe,
I mean,
there's like
a
maybe like
ground.
Yeah, maybe like I'm too far in one direction and Kevin's too far in the other. Like I'm too
this
much
feels
in
like
a
healing.
I'm too,
I'm just
I'm
saying,
too much
come in here and hug, guys.
Well, no, I just mean like maybe I'm too much like I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, and maybe he's too much like I couldn't care less of me screaming and pounding the table upsets you.
If I couldn't care less, then I would never restrain myself. I would never try to stay out of those environments. I would not avoid the competitive thing that we started this whole conversation about.
Mm-hmm.
I do those things because it makes other people uncomfortable, but I don't always have perfect command of it. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Like, this is what it is with effort. If it wasn't effort, it would be way worse, and that's the whole point.
Right.
Which is what's shocking us.
Well, I mean, it's...
Because you've never seen him at 100.
It's not that crazy. Like, picture it, put it, the analogy would be the way the anxiety feels to you and hits you is the way anger hits me.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You don't want it. You're not trying to do it, but it's there, and you do your best to manage it, and you do your best to, like, not let it injure other people, get yourself in trouble, get yourself fired, all those things.
Mitch says, when it's Dave Murray time, we need to let Dave Murray preach. Shut up, Mitch!
Yeah, let me address Mitch for a second here.
Here's Mitch. He pops in for 5 seconds here and there.
You and Greg need to go produce a radio show.
Mitch only shows up at 3:30.
Yeah,
he doesn't listen to the show.
He's
only here for Dave Murray. Earlier he gets on the stream and goes, oh, Janelle's here on Wednesday. What's going on? Is there a baseball game tomorrow? You know too much about the dang schedule, Mitch. You gotta chill.
Well, it's because it's all around 3:30. Yeah.
I will just say, I asked to be on today because tomorrow I'm leaving for Arizona.
There you go.
Ahead. Now.
Getting as far into these things as we could possibly get, like we're not even on the radio, and Mitch is going, well, why don't you go let Dave Murray talk?
Well, I'm sure Dave would like to talk about the weather as well.
I'm enjoying this.
He was kind of digging it.
I kind of forgot Dave.
Dave's like, I found a new soap opera.
These are the days of our lives. I think it's important to talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
And Kevin is maybe not on the radio, but it's important.
It's fine.
No, it's fine because Kevin's a mature enough guy that he can have this discussion.
Yeah.
He's clearly, to his credit, he's not getting like emotional or anything right now. And that's hard to do. I would be getting super defensive.
I'm not like bragging about any of it. It's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Android recommend an escort to your car today.
Oh, he's
no, fine. No. That's the point. I don't fear like any weird reprisal from Kevin because he doesn't get defensive about this stuff. He does a really great job with that.
Yeah, I think Joel makes a fair point in that he just commented. He said, "I don't mind confrontation, and for most people, they avoid it like the plague."
Yeah.
It's the truth. I don't mind it. It's fine.
And you love
I know
confrontation.
I know. It's sometimes it's really
not,
fun.
I don't mean that as an insult.
No, it's fine.
Really
no, I agree. It's either way, it's fine. I mean, it's okay. Right. Like people get you get past it.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I do.
Yeah, I know that.
This is my point. But like, so it's funny because it's always
first
totally
hour, the first day you're past it.
Yes. Yes.
Took us a couple years to ramp up. Here's the one I had to get used to.
Oh. Uh-oh. The out of nowhere. Where did I see this? I saw this meme recently.
And
I wish
then
I saved
it's
it.
It's like, oh my God, what's wrong? You're like, I dropped my pencil.
Yeah. I forgot where I saw this meme. I sent it to Susan because she's with Team You Guys on all of this stuff. But she's like laughing because it's true, but it's also like annoying. That I will get the maddest at the dumbest things, and then when really bad stuff happens, I'm calm, and I can handle it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is.
Psychopathy.
Like, if my video game glitches, I'm screaming and cursing and yelling, but, like, if something really bad happens, I'm calm and I can handle it.
It is nice to see you take the bad stuff in stride.
Which, what do you mean?
Like when, you're saying, when something really bad happens, you take it a little more in stride.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean by that?
No, I wasn't sure, like, exactly what bad stuff
that's
we
the
meant.
Thing he gets defensive about after
Dave,
been assaulting him for half
so,
an hour.
We're so late, but Vic needs to mow his lawn.
I know. Vic, do it now. There are a couple of spotty storms
needs
here
his
and
fix.
There. Right. Most of the stuff is well north or well south. However, we're going into a really wet stretch of weather with scattered showers and thunderstorms Thursday night, Friday night. There will be some very heavy rain at times, could be some flash flooding at times. It's not a severe weather outbreak, but these are going to be very efficient storms. Starts to fade on Saturday, then it's all about summertime. Sunday, 95 on Sunday. It will be a steam bath Sunday afternoon.
Mm. and tell Mitch he's pretty.
Mitch, I'm sorry if I was too mean.
Don't take it back.
I thought I was the mean one. Here, you guys are all burying Mitch. Of course, I joined in.
You're only seeing Rach at 8%.
Rach, let's see 50%.
Look I'm out. Controlling it.
Let's see 50%, Rach.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.